Fatima, the crisis in the church and how to respond. A talk given by Father Michael Rodriguez at the conference, Fatima, the moment has come, in Dallas, Texas, on February 10th, in the year of our Lord, 2024.
I'll go ahead and begin with a prayer. Prayer of consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Hail Mary, beloved daughter of the Eternal Father. Hail Mary, admirable mother of the Son. Hail Mary, faithful spouse of the Holy Ghost. O Mary, mother of divine grace and mother of mercy, queen of heaven and refuge of sinners, in accordance with thy ardent wish, made known at Fatima, we consecrate ourselves to thine Immaculate Heart. We consecrate to thee our very being and our whole life, all that we have, all that we love, all that we are. To thee we give our bodies, our hearts, and our souls. To thee we give our homes, our families, and our country. We desire that all that is in us and around us may belong to thee and may share in the benefits of thy motherly benediction. O Mother of Grace, grant that we may have no other spirit but thine, to know Jesus and his divine will, that we may have no other soul but thine, to praise and glorify the Lord, that we may have no other heart but thine, to love God with a love as pure and ardent as thine. O Mother of Mercy, hasten the consecration of Russia to thine Immaculate Heart and spread true devotion to thine Immaculate Heart to all souls throughout the world. Reign over us, Most Holy Mother of God, and help us make the Sacred Heart of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, reign and triumph in us, even as it has reigned and triumphed in thee. Amen. Amen. The day was October the 13th in the year of our Lord, 1917. The place was Cova da Iria, near the village of Fatima, Portugal. As the Blessed Virgin Mary took leave of the three shepherd children, she opened her hands, which emitted a flood of light. While she was rising, she pointed towards the sun, and the light gleaming from her hands brightened the sun itself. An outstanding aspect of the Fatima apparitions is the brilliant supernatural light which surrounds the Blessed Virgin Mary and streams forth from her hands. At Fatima, Our Lady brings light, immense light, light far brighter than the sun. Our Lady of Fatima brings the light of truth and the light of God. 1 John 1, verse 5, God is light. Thus, what we must do is we must look to her and familiarize ourselves evermore with her message and obey her. Today, in the first months of the year of our Lord, 2024, there is a terrible crisis afflicting Holy Mother Church. The light of Fatima warned us about this. Our Lady spoke of persecutions of the church. Jesus Christ, our sweet and loving Savior, is being betrayed by his own. Those whom Christ has called to be guardians of tradition have become the subverters of tradition. There is wicked assault after wicked assault on the truth coming from Rome, coming from Francis. Amoris Laetitia, the February 4th, 2019 Abu Dhabi document on human fraternity, Traditionis Custodes, the Synod on Synodality, Fiducia Supplicans. The exercise of sacred authority within the church is being profaned repeatedly and weaponized against the truth. The virtue of obedience is being desecrated, distorted, and used against the faith. Obedience, holy obedience, something holy, is being used against the faith. This is diabolical. And the light of Fatima warned us about this. Persecutions of the church. The good will be martyred. Diabolical disorientation. How bad is the crisis in the Catholic Church today? Well, about a month prior to the synod on the Pan-Amazon region, in a letter to the College of Cardinals dated August the 28th, 2019, Cardinal Walter Brandmüller wrote, quote, "We face serious challenges to the integrity of the deposit of the faith, the sacramental and hierarchical structure of the church, and its apostolic tradition. With all this has been created a situation never before seen in the church's history. Not even during the Arian crisis of the 4th and 5th century." Close quote. The light of Fatima warned us about all this. Yet many have refused or neglected to obey. Bishop Alberto Cosme do Amaral, then Bishop of Fatima, declared on September the 10th, 1984, quote, "The third secret's content concerns only our faith. The loss of faith of a continent is worse than the annihilation of a nation. And it is true that the faith is continually diminishing in Europe." Close quote. Again, 1984. Cardinal Oddi stated on March 19th, 1990, quote, "The Blessed Virgin was alerting us against apostasy in the church." Close quote. And Cardinal Chappi, who was the personal papal theologian to Popes Pius XII, John XXIII, Paul VI, John Paul I, John Paul II, stated on March 2002, quote, "In the third secret is foretold, among other things, that the great apostasy in the church will begin at the top." Close quote. Apostasy is the grave, grave sin of abandoning or renouncing one's holy Catholic religion. It can also be described as turning away from the true faith, turning away from God, rejecting the true faith, rejecting God. Also, embracing beliefs contrary to one's previous religious beliefs. So, a rejection of the one true faith, a rejection of God, a most grave sin. And it's extremely likely that the text of the third secret, which still has not been revealed in disobedience to God and the Blessed Virgin Mary, that it speaks about, warns about a great apostasy that will begin at the very top. The light of Fatima warns us the great apostasy will begin at the top. So, one of the ways that we have to respond to the current crisis in the church is we have to understand what's taking place. And this is why we have to do the opposite of the great apostasy. If there are those, even at the very highest levels of the church, that are abandoning the true faith and rejecting the true faith, then we, in a sense also in reparation, we have to redouble our efforts to love and be faithful to the lex orandi and lex credendi of the Catholic Church. That's her worship and her doctrine. This is what we have to love with all our hearts in reparation for those who are rejecting it and attacking it. How do we respond to the crisis? We have to be ready to defend the worship of the Catholic Church, the perennial worship of the Catholic Church, Latin Mass, and her perennial doctrine, to defend it and to be ready to be persecuted. I guarantee you, doesn't matter who you are, if you are today, in the year of our Lord 2024, defending Christ, defending the true Catholic faith, defending true Catholic worship, you will be persecuted. Whether by family members, whether by friends, whether by your parents, whether by your neighbors, whether by your children, whether by relatives, whether by the local parish priest, whether by the bishop, whether from forces in Rome. But remember, this is also important in knowing how to respond to the crisis. Remember, persecution for the sake of Christ is a grace. So, very important in terms of responding to the crisis, you have to understand what's taking place. On February the 2nd, 1634, our Blessed Mother, under the title of Our Lady of Buen Suceso of the Purification, appeared in Quito, Ecuador, to Mother Mariana de Jesus Torres, a Conceptionist nun. Our Lady spoke to Mother Mariana of the grave crisis that would afflict the Church and society in general in the 20th century. So again, our Blessed Mother bringing light to help us understand what's going on. It's not up to you to just figure everything out. You're not going to be able to do it. You're weak. It's not just a question of listening to a priest tell you things. Listen to the Most Holy Mother of God. She brings light. Immense light. So, this is what Our Lady of Buen Suceso said, quote, "At the end of the 19th century and into the 20th century, various heresies will be propagated. As these heresies spread and dominate, the precious light of faith will be extinguished in souls by the almost total corruption of customs. During this period, there will be great physical and moral calamities, both public and private. The small number of souls," don't get discouraged if you belong to the small number of souls, "the small number of souls who will preserve the treasure of the faith and the virtues will suffer an unspeakably cruel and prolonged martyrdom. There will be occasions when everything will seem to be lost and paralyzed. The spirit of impurity will saturate the atmosphere in those times. Like a filthy ocean, it will run through the streets, squares, and public places with an astonishing liberty. The priests will become careless in their sacred duties. Lacking the divine compass, they will stray from the road traced by God for the priestly ministry, and they will become attached to wealth and riches. How the church will suffer during this dark night. Priests shall lack a prelate and father to guide them with paternal love, gentleness, strength, wisdom, and prudence." Close quote. Our Lady of Buen Suceso also warned that the three main sins of the 20th century, and again, she's saying this in the 1600s, the three main sins of the 20th century would be heresy, blasphemy, and impurity. Heresy, grave attacks against the truth. Blasphemy, grave attacks against what is holy, like holy matrimony, like the holy mass, like holy communion, and impurity. She said that the light of faith would be almost completely extinguished in souls. One of the ways that you can respond, and that we must all respond, we must make every effort to grow in our faith. Some of the basic ways that we do that is by praying the rosary faithfully, by listening to sermons by good traditional priests, by studying our faith, which is why the Fatima Center makes an effort to provide so much good, solid, traditional Catholic literature. Understand what is taking place. Heresy, blasphemy, impurity dominating. The light of faith almost being completely extinguished in souls. Also, in terms of responding, we want to make every effort that we can to make specific reparation for the sins of heresy, blasphemy, and impurity. Pray your act of faith with ever greater fervor to make up for those who don't believe and those who are promulgating heresies. When you receive Holy Communion, all of you can do this. You know, make a little bit more of an effort to prepare yourself better for Holy Communion. You've got beautiful prayers of preparation and thanksgiving for Holy Communion that is part of our traditional Catholic tradition. Really make a conscious effort. Just don't go through the motions of, well, I'm in Mass, I'm going to go receive Holy Communion. Make a conscious effort to make a more profound act of faith. This is my Lord. This is my God. This is the one before whom all of the angels in heaven bow down and are bowing down right now. I too should be bowing down. Make a greater effort to love the holy things of God in reparation for the sin of blasphemy. Treat with respect your holy objects. Kiss your rosary. Kiss your scapular. Kiss your miraculous medal. Kiss your statue of your Blessed Mother. Kiss your crucifix before you go to sleep. Kiss your crucifix. And from your heart, thank our Blessed Savior that He died on the cross for love of you. And say, this is something holy. My Catholic faith is holy. There are many who are committing the grave sin of blasphemy. I'm going to make reparation. The light of Fatima helps us to understand the terrible crisis in the church and to respond accordingly. On the 56th anniversary of the miracle of the sun, we heard about this last night, October the 13th, 1973, Our Lady of Akita said the following to Sister Agnes Sasagawa, quote, "As I told you, if men do not repent and better themselves, the Father will inflict a terrible punishment on all humanity." Again, take these messages seriously and reflect on them. Yesterday in the talk that my brother David Rodriguez gave on the basics of Our Lady of Fatima, he was encouraging you and saying, look, take the book, the one by Father Marchi, and he was saying, read through it and really take time to just reflect on the details. Every one of you, what you can do, and this is something precious, is go through the words of Our Lady of Fatima. Go through these words that I'm quoting of Our Lady of Akita and think about them. And think, our Blessed Mother, our loving Mother from heaven is truly bringing light, immense light, so that I can understand what is going on. Because it's so confusing, it's so scary, I don't know what to do. We can't be relying primarily on our own judgment or what a particular priest may say, even if he's a very holy priest. Priests are fallible. So many Catholics today think that, oh, just because this is the way I think and because this is the way I feel and this is the conclusion that I've drawn, oh, now I figured out the solution to the crisis. We have to make more of an effort to really reflect on the words of our Blessed Mother and believe them and see that this is what's taking place. Our Lady in Akita says, is warning us of a punishment that will be greater than the deluge, such as one will never have seen before. What's going on in the church right now is a divine chastisement. Because so many of us are not faithful. Because so many of us don't obey. Because so many of us don't care. And most certainly we deserve the priests and bishops and supposed popes that we receive. But that's scary then. That's saying something very, very frightening about the kind of Catholic faith that we are living. And then, quoting still from Our Lady of Akita, each day recite the prayers of the rosary. What can you do to respond to the crisis in the church? Pray your rosary with devotion. pray your rosary and try to pray it more consciously as saying, Blessed Mother, I love thee. Pray your rosary with the intention of one of those prayers of Fatima. My God, I believe, I love, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, do not love thee. Each day recite the prayers of the rosary. With the rosary, pray for the Pope, the bishops, and the priests. You will be hearing how in the next words that I'll be saying, I will be critical of the Pope, the bishops, and the priests. Critical for a reason, because it has to do with the sake of the faith and the sake of the church. But we can never forget that what's primary is not to be criticizing other people. Our Blessed Mother at Akita, she doesn't say, criticize the Pope, the bishops, and the priests. She says, with the rosary, pray for the Pope, the bishops, and the priests. The work of the devil will infiltrate even into the church. Now again, please listen very carefully. These are the words of Our Lady, of Akita, very much linked with Fatima, so that you understand what's taking place. I'm not telling you this. This is not my idea. If I tell you, and I do say this, the one who at present is sitting on the See of Peter is evil, evil, evil. But again, you don't have to listen to me. The third secret of Fatima, very, very likely speaking about how the great apostasy, and think of the gravity of the sin of apostasy, will begin at the very top. And then these words from Our Lady of Akita, the work of the devil. She's saying it. I mean, do you believe it? Is this some kind of exaggeration? The work of the devil will infiltrate even into the church in such a way, and what she's basically saying is it's going to be infiltrated the devil at the very top. I do believe, this is my personal opinion, I do believe that in a very serious way, I don't know exactly how, I'm not an exorcist, but I do believe that in a very serious way, Francis is controlled by the devil. But again, please, don't get super scandalized and then go after the talk and forget everything else that I said and say, oh yeah, Father's saying this. Again, it's just my opinion. I can be very wrong. I'm a nobody. But do listen seriously to the words of our Blessed Mother. The work of the devil will infiltrate even into the church in such a way that one will see cardinals opposing cardinals and bishops against other bishops. The priests who venerate me will be scorned and opposed by their converts. Close quote. This prophecy of the Blessed Virgin Mary is certainly being fulfilled. Cardinals against cardinals, bishops against bishops, priests against priests. It's certainly being fulfilled in these first months of the year of our Lord, 2024, as never before. And grab hold of your seats. It is fulfilled today, here in your presence. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. My name is Father Michael Rodriguez, and I am a priest of the Diocese of El Paso, Texas, in the United States. Adulterous and same-sex unions can never be approved and blessed by the Roman Catholic Church. Never. No pope, no bishop, no soul on this earth has authority to contradict Jesus Christ and the one holy Catholic religion. Same-sex unions are always and everywhere, semper et ubique, contrary to God, man, and nature. This is a putrid sin which cries to heaven for vengeance. It is my solemn duty as a Catholic priest to teach the Catholic faith, especially when bishops, cardinals, and Jorge Bergoglio himself are betraying it. Sadly, my own diocese released a statement which affirms that, quote, the Diocese of El Paso will adhere to fiducia supplicans when exercising pastoral care to the faithful in West Texas, close quote. My bishop, Most Reverend Mark J. Seitz, has no authority to contradict the perennial, infallible teaching of the Catholic Church. Let this be clear. No one has authority to contradict the perennial teaching of Holy Mother Church. My dear children, faithful of El Paso and Catholic faithful throughout the world, no Catholic may adhere to fiducia supplicans, regardless of what any ecclesiastical authority may claim to the contrary. I will now present 5 examples of true Catholic teaching with regard to this issue. Fiducia supplicans, a declaration on the pastoral meaning of blessings, was issued on December the 18th, 2023, by the prefect of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, and approved by Francis. First example of true Catholic teaching. The Superior General of the SSPX, Don Davide Pagliarani, and he issued this statement, I'm just quoting part of it, the very next day on December the 19th, 2023. Quote, "To make those who live in a fundamentally flawed union believed that the same could have any positive value is the worst kind of deception and the most serious lack of charity towards these lost souls. It is wrong to imagine that there is anything good in a situation of public sin, and it is wrong to claim that God can bless couples living in such a situation." Close quote. Second example, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, this statement the next day, December the 20th, 2023, quote, "If this document really had as its purpose the good of adulterers, concubinaries, and sodomites, it should have pointed out to them the heroism of Christian witness, reminded them of the self-sacrifice that our Lord asks of each one of us, and taught them to put their trust in God's grace in order to overcome trials and live in conformity with His will. Bergoglio does not ask them to change their lives, but authorizes a grotesque farce in which 2 men or 2 women will be able to appear before a minister of God to be blessed, together with their relatives and friends, and then celebrate this sinful union with a banquet." Close quote. Number 3, Bishop Athanasius Schneider, and he gave this response in a print interview with The Remnant, Remnant newspaper, again dated December the 22nd, 2023. And Bishop Schneider is responding to the question, "How do you believe diocesan bishops should respond to fiducia supplicans?" Quote, "True Catholic bishops can only respond in one way, by determinedly rejecting the declaration, as it permits priests to perform an intrinsically immoral act by invoking God's holy name through a blessing upon an objectively sinful situation that is known to the public. The swift response of bishops who have prohibited their priests from blessing couples in irregular situations and same-sex couples has been a source of great consolation and encouragement to many priests and Catholic faithful." And he gives the examples of the Archbishop of St. Mary in Astana, Kazakhstan, his own ordinary, the head of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, and the Bishops' Conference of Poland, Malawi, Zambia, Ghana, Cameroon, and Zimbabwe. Fourth example, Most Reverend Rafael Escudero Lopez Brea, his pastoral message to the priests, religious, and lay faithful of the prelature of Moyobamba, Peru, dated January the 2nd, 2024. Referring to the blessing of persons who together are committing grave sin, he writes, quote, "Such blessings directly and seriously contradict divine revelation and the uninterrupted doctrine and practice of the Catholic Church, including the recent magisterium of Pope Francis. In a 2021 responsum, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith told us that the Church does not have, nor can she have, the power to bless same-sex unions. Blessing couples in an irregular situation and same-sex couples is a grave abuse of the most holy name of God, which is invoked over an objectively sinful union of fornication, adultery, or even worse, homosexual activity. Moreover, in the latter case, it must be emphasized that homosexual acts are disordered and above all, contrary to the natural law. God never blesses sin. The underlying problem is much more serious, and it is that not a few brothers in the episcopate and priests, contravening the objective morality of sacred scripture and sacred tradition, have long been confusing the people of God with the indiscriminate blessing of these objectively disordered and therefore sinful unions, incurring in horrendous sacrilege. Given the lack of clarity of the document, we must follow the uninterrupted praxis of the Church to date, which is to bless every person who asks for a blessing, and not same-sex couples or those in an irregular situation. We will avoid all scandal, confusion, inducement to sin, and at the same time we will continue to show the mercy that the Church has always shown to every sinner who approaches her, above all offering him conversion, forgiveness, the life of grace and eternal life. And the fifth and final example, on the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Presentation of the Lord, the Feast of Candlemas, February the 2nd, 2024, 90 faithful Catholic priests, theologians, and writers published a filial appeal to all the cardinals and bishops of the Church opposing the papally approved document Fiducia Supplicans, which permits blessings of homosexual couples and other couples in sinful unions. This filial appeal asks all the cardinals and bishops of the Catholic Church to forbid such blessings in their respective dioceses and to ask Pope Francis to withdraw the document altogether. I hope I'm not missing anyone, but I believe here in our gathering we have three of the original signees to that document that I'm going to quote right now. Father Kloster, Michael Hitchborn, and Elizabeth Yore. So, quoting from that document, "We, the undersigned Catholic priests, scholars, and authors, write to you," again, to all the cardinals and bishops of the world, "write to you on the occasion of the latest document published by the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, Fiducia Supplicans, which has created so much scandal in the Church during this last Christmas time. As is widely known, a relevant part of the world episcopate has practically rejected it due to its evident break with Scripture and the tradition of the Church. 20 episcopal conferences, dozens of individual prelates, and even cardinals invested with the highest positions, such as Cardinal Müller and Cardinal Sarah, have expressed an unequivocal condemnatory judgment. The fact is that a priest is imparting a blessing on two people who present themselves as a couple in the sexual sense, and precisely a couple defined by its objectively sinful relationship. Therefore, regardless of the intentions and interpretations of the document, or the explanations the priest may try to give, this action will be the visible and tangible sign of a different doctrine, which contradicts traditional doctrine. Let us remember that the traditional doctrine on the subject must be considered infallible, since it is unequivocally confirmed by Scripture and tradition, a universal and uninterrupted tradition, ubique et semper. And it must be remembered that this is a doctrine of natural law, which does not allow for any change. In practice, the faithful will not even be aware of the subtle theoretical justifications introduced by the declaration, much less those that were added in the recent clarification on the declaration. The message that is effectively launched, and that the people of God and the entire world will inevitably register and are already registering, is that the Catholic Church has finally evolved and now accepts homosexual unions and more generally extramarital unions. Close quote. I too have added my name to this filial appeal. Blessing same-sex unions is a horrendous sacrilege. This is not pastoral care. I publicly, respectfully, urge my own bishop, Most Reverend Mark J. Seitz, out of true fidelity to Jesus Christ, the Holy Catholic Church, and the See of Blessed Peter, to forbid these blessings in our diocese and to insist that Francis withdraw this diabolical document altogether. The light of Fatima and Akita call us to pray the rosary and to pray for the Pope, the bishops and priests. So, just as a quick little example here to let you know, for many years now, every month without fail, I pray in a special way for 9 days for my own conversion and sanctification and the conversion and sanctification of my bishop. And so if there are little troublemakers out there that are reporting me to my bishop for what I said, I hope they also tell him this, that as a priest, I've faithfully made a special effort for many years now to pray in a special way, again, first for my own conversion and sanctification, and also for his. We must pray for our priests. We must pray for our bishops. We must pray for the Pope. The light of Fatima warns us that a great apostasy will begin at the top. And again, what this means is it means an attack on Catholic doctrine and a rejection of Catholic worship that comes from the top. And I emphasize so much to you that a very important part of how do we respond to this crisis is we have to understand what is going on. There's still so many Catholics that are just assuming, well, because this document came out from Rome, I got to find a way to justify it and explain that it's okay. Because the bishop said this, oh, I got to find a way, it's okay, I've got to obey. Because the priest said this. Without paying any attention really and reflecting on what is taking place in the church and especially what our Blessed Mother is telling us. This attack on Catholic doctrine, a rejection of Catholic worship, a rejection of the Catholic Mass, an attempt to completely eliminate the traditional Catholic Mass, the worship of the Catholic Church for 2,000 years. Our Blessed Mother is telling us this great apostasy is coming from the top. It's hard to make it clearer. In terms of responding to this crisis, we have to be faithful now. We can't be waiting any longer because things are going to get progressively worse. This document that just came out on December the 18th, Fiducia Supplicans, it didn't come out of thin air. It's been one attack after another, after another, after another on the truth. And one of the reasons why we've gotten to this point now, it's because there are far too many Catholics, including priests and bishops, that don't take seriously what's really going on. They don't understand what's taking place. Everybody just business as usual. Well, if the bishop said this, if Francis said this, oh, well, you have to obey. And I'm thinking, what about reflecting on what the Blessed Mother has been telling us since her apparition in Quito, Ecuador? What about really believing in the immense light that she brings us at Fatima? What about really reflecting on what all these faithful priests, a lot of faithful priests, theologians, authors, scholars, have been, this isn't the first filial appeal that there's been either. I'm going to read to you something that I preached almost exactly 7 years ago And I want you to really remember this because, again, what you're hearing, I preached this in my, I'm not sure where I preached it, but I preached it. I preached it. I have it in my records. Almost exactly 7 years ago, this is what I preached. A sense of real urgency because it was very urgent. And pretty much nobody listens. Everybody keeps on his business as usual. And that's one of the reasons why we're where we are now in terms of the crisis in the church. So here I'm quoting myself. I preached the following almost exactly 7 years ago on February the 5th, 2017. Today we have a terrible crisis in the papacy. Pope Francis, by his refusal to answer the five dubia presented to him by cardinals Brandmüller, Burke, Caffara, and Meissner, is on the brink of formal heresy. It is shocking and tragic to witness what is currently taking place at the highest levels of the church. Yet Our Lady warned us of this exactly 100 years ago at Fatima. Pope Francis is being asked formally whether or not absolute moral norms that prohibit intrinsically evil acts are binding without exception, and he refuses to answer. This is incredible in the saddest sense of the term. The Pope is actually refusing to affirm the perennial teaching of Jesus Christ and his Holy Catholic Church. This is a very, very serious matter. This is tantamount to asking the Pope whether or not Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he refuses to answer. Imagine. He is willing to stand idly by while millions and millions of Catholics deny Christ and his truth. Pope Francis, by his continued silence and by a letter which he wrote to the Argentine bishops of the pastoral region of Buenos Aires back in September 2016, is allowing and even promoting sacrilege, that is, public adulterers receiving Holy Communion. Pope Francis refuses to uphold Catholic Church teaching in the face of widespread dissent and confusion, and in the process, he is desecrating both the Most Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist and the Sacrament of Holy Matrimony. Finish the quote. Something that I preached almost exactly 7 years ago. What have we done in the last 7 years about this? What have you done in terms of, for example, praying the rosary, wearing your scapular, doing your best to be 100% faithful to the traditional Latin Mass, carrying out your duty, your daily duty faithfully? And again, the tragedy here is that even today, I'm not even talking right now about 7 years ago, even today, February the 10th, 2024, there's still so many, many Catholics that they think everything's fine. Oh yeah, well, if Francis said this, maybe it sounds a little bit strange, but you know, we got to obey the Pope, we got to obey the Pope, we got to obey the Bishop. Hear the same thing over and over, year after year, in this incredible crisis. Here I'll give you another very recent example, something that just took place less than 2 weeks ago. The following occurred here in the United States. This was related to me by a trustworthy eyewitness, one who was present at the meeting I will describe. One of our beloved U.S. bishops met with the faithful after canceling their Latin Mass parish. One of the traditional Catholic media outlets wanted to send a journalist to the meeting, and the bishop's office told them that the journalist was not welcome and would be arrested if he came. So then the bishop has the meeting with the faithful, and he didn't really answer their questions. Basically what he did was said, okay, well, ask me all your questions. So kind of open it up, appearing to be pastoral and caring for the needs of the faithful. So kind of said, okay, ask me all your questions. And then after all the faithful gave him his questions, then he kind of just, I guess, made a few comments. Kind of answered what he wanted, said what he wanted to say. One of the comments that was made by one of the faithful was, the faithful asked the bishop, well, here you're telling us that you're following Francis's plan. Because again, that was one of his main justifications. A U.S. bishop kind of wiping his hands and saying, like, you know, I'm not accountable. Again, a bishop of the Catholic Church, a successor to the apostles, one who's given, has been given a supremely holy mission of guarding the faith, of guarding the tradition, of transmitting faithfully the deposit of faith. And you're kind of just wiping his hands. Well, you know, I'm just following what Francis says. Newsflash. That's not what the Catholic Church teaches. And I'm gonna point this out to you in a moment. The Catholic Church certainly teaches obedience. But not just this blind obedience that whatever a bishop says or even whatever a pope says, you know, I follow. First and foremost, as Catholics, we follow Jesus Christ, his teachings and what is called the deposit of faith. The truths that Jesus Christ and his apostles themselves have taught for the salvation of souls. And it's up to the Pope and the bishops to transmit this faithfully. If one of them is not, there's no way that as a Catholic you can follow that. If your bishop were to tell you, look, the Eucharist, it's just a symbol. It's not really the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or our Blessed Mother, well, she was just a kind of a regular woman. She was not immaculately conceived. You've fallen into like apostasy and you've lost the faith if your response is, oh well, I'm just following what my bishop says. And yet here's the response of our U.S. bishop, yeah, I'm just following what Francis says. And so the faithful kind of about his wits. This is also what all of you have to do when we're saying about how do you respond. You've got to study your faith. You have to also be about your wits. You have to understand what's taking place in the church. I mean, it's sad to say, but I'm going to tell you this. It's sad to say, but the bishops, I'm speaking in general, the bishops are not our friends. The bishops are not being faithful to Christ. So the faithful says to the bishop, okay, well, you say you're following Francis's plan, and I see that Francis is very merciful, and that he's very merciful with the Society of St. Pius X, and has given them certain faculties, and you know, they're able to offer the Latin Mass. So why in the world are you not also being merciful with us and letting us continue in our parish? Why are you canceling our parish? No response from the bishop. And then one of the other faithful about their wits. Very interesting question. The faithful asks, well, you've told us all these things, but what do we do about Francis and what he is doing? The Pachamama, idol worship, Traditiones custodes, fiducia supplicans. And I'm told that what the bishop did was slammed his fist. Slammed his fist and said, we are not talking about that here. Francis is the Pope. That's it. I give you this example because, again, so sad that there is not a recognition of what is taking place in the church and the very grave crisis that is taking place in the church. How to respond to this terrible crisis? Let me ask all of you a question. How many of you that are here, raise your hand if you do not regularly go to the traditional Latin Mass, just so I can get a sense of how many we're talking about. Do not. Yeah, they do not regularly go to the traditional Latin Mass. Okay. To those of you that do not regularly go to the traditional Latin Mass, I'd like to just plant hopefully a seed. Certainly I would encourage you to think about it and pray about it. But one of the things that you can do to respond to this terrible crisis, because again, remember what we've been saying in terms of Light from Fatima. A great apostasy that begins from the top. That is an attack on Catholic doctrine, an attack on Catholic worship. Remember particularly an attack on Catholic worship, on the way that we worship as Catholics. Pretty much the way that we worship as Catholics has always been the same, century after century after century after century. And then suddenly, and I say suddenly, but also I'm convinced the infiltration of the devil. Then suddenly, there is a radical change to the way that we worship in the aftermath of the Second Vatican Council. And look, think about it also this way. It's hard to believe that we could possibly be experiencing such a terrible crisis in the Catholic Church if the very center of the Church, her worship of God, if that were solid and true and authentic and pleasing to God and faithful to the worship of the Catholic Church century after century after century. The point is that one of the huge problems that has been contributing to this terrible crisis in the Church is the fact that the vast majority of Catholics, easily over 90% of Catholics throughout the world, have abandoned true Catholic worship, the traditional Latin Mass. So I strongly, strongly urge you, those who are not regularly going to the traditional Latin Mass, really consider making a very serious effort to be faithful to start going exclusively to the traditional Latin Mass. I was going to say more about this, but I don't have the time. But I just want to mention to you that, as I've been speaking about the light of Fatima, the culmination of the Fatima apparitions, my brother David Rodriguez also mentioned it in the basics that he was covering last night. I gave a talk, he also alluded to that yesterday, but I gave a talk specifically on the apparition of our, well, also the apparition of our Blessed Mother, but really the great manifestation of the Blessed Trinity that took place at Tuy on June the 13th, 1929. I gave a talk on that at the last Fatima Center conference that we had in October of 2022 in New Hampshire. So I strongly encourage you also, all of you, to listen to that. Because the whole point here is that we have this great light that's coming to us from heaven through Fatima. Also something very beautiful in this regard, and my brother also mentioned it yesterday, is the great vision of St. John Bosco that he had in May of 1862 of the two great pillars that were going to bring hope and salvation to the Church. And that's the Holy Eucharist, Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, and devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Kind of the same light that is coming to us from heaven, already preparing us, you could say, exactly 100 years before the beginning of the Second Vatican Council. Vatican Council II began in 1962. St. John Bosco had this vision and his dream in 1862. And the whole point of all of this about this light that's coming to us from heaven is that the more that one reflects a bit more profoundly on the entire message of Fatima, and also especially on the vision at Tuy, it's crystal clear how important the traditional Latin Mass is. When you look at the picture of the vision of Tuy, it's almost like a picture of the traditional Latin Mass. How should we respond to the crisis? Three things that I would say we have to be as firm as we can on. On this we cannot compromise. And that's the lex orandi of the Catholic Church. Which is why I'm strongly urging the Catholics that aren't going to the Latin Mass. I'm saying, look, we have to be 100% faithful to the lex orandi of the Catholic Church. Her law of, literally that means law of prayer. The way she prays. And don't think that the way she prays is not connected with the way, what she believes. They're very much connected. The Catholic Church has always taught this. What this means is it means if you start praying in a very different way, you're going to start believing in a very different way. Change in worship, change in doctrine. So, do your very best to be faithful to the lex orandi of the Catholic Church and the lex credendi. Catholic worship, true Catholic worship, true Catholic belief. And then we must realize that there is a terrible crisis afflicting the Church. Really take it to heart. That's also one of the reasons why I gave you this example just from a couple of within the last 2 weeks, of one of the U.S. bishops. I mean, it's like, dear bishop, don't you realize you're just saying, Francis this, Francis that, we don't talk about anything. Don't you realize the terrible crisis that's taking place in the Church? What are the causes? So we must realize that there's a terrible crisis afflicting the Church. And we also have to realize this especially. Let's not get too proud. Please. Don't leave here thinking, I go to the Latin Mass. I went to the Fatima Center Conference. I prayed my rosary. We have to realize that we are undergoing a divine chastisement. Because as a whole, we have turned against God and the faith. Now, I mention to you these things because now we move on to another category in terms of how do you respond to this crisis. Don't confuse the two categories, because we got a lot of people confusing them. And this is why I want to briefly touch the subject of, and this applies to the rest, when I said how many of you don't regularly go to the traditional Latin Mass, people raise their hands. Now, specifically to all the rest of you, if we kind of, let's say, for lack of a better description, if we call ourselves, let's say, traditional Catholics, we have to address the problem of the infighting among traditional Catholics. This is a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And there's no question that the tail of the devil is there. Because wherever you go to Mass as a traditional Catholic, to the traditional Latin Mass, the three things I just mentioned, you're holding on to them. You have that in common. You're trying to be faithful to the lex orandi of the Catholic Church, 100% faithful, 100% faithful to the lex credendi of the Catholic Church. You recognize that there's a terrible crisis afflicting the Church. I'm saying, concentrate on that. Yes, there are going to be differences among you. We don't have to all agree on everything. For sure we're not all going to agree on what the solution is to this terrible crisis, or what's the most prudent path to take, or where I should go to Mass, or whatever, which priest is, defending the faith a little bit better, or the other one maybe doesn't say as much, as the other one says more. All kinds of, you know, variations and differences. And it's so sad because so many of us as Catholics, we make this into a big deal, and we end up thinking that we're right, and all the other groups are wrong, and you better not go to Mass over there, don't go to Mass with the SSPX, don't go to Mass with the FSSP, don't go to Mass with Father Rodriguez, don't go to Mass with Father, I don't know, Father Maudsley, don't go to Mass with Father Cluster, Father Navarro, whoever, Father Govis, whoever I'm missing. And we're forgetting that we are first and foremost Catholic. And that's defined by, we have the same lex orandi, we have the same lex credendi. We're Catholic. Affiliation with a particular traditional group is secondary. And esteem and admiration for a particular priest is secondary. Now, to just kind of explain to you why there's so much infighting among traditional Catholics. Look, explain very simply what's going on. And what's making this such a difficult crisis is that we really do have a conflict between, on the one hand, faith, the deposit of faith, the truths of the faith. And on the other hand, we have obedience. Now, as faithful Catholics, we have to be 100% faithful both ways. There's no question about that. If I'm really going to be a faithful Catholic, I have to believe everything that the Church believes. And I have to be obedient, respectful, docile to legitimate Church authority. Of that, that's true. The problem with the crisis is that, please believe me on this, if there's anyone, priests included, if there's anyone who can find me someone who right now, in the crisis, is doing both perfectly well, let me know, so I can try to emulate their example. Because my contention is that it's impossible. Because of the nature of the crisis, because also of, I would say, maybe the level that we've reached of the divine chastisement that we have to go through, because we've allowed the tail of the devil so much in, that we're now in a situation that there's no way that you're going to be 100% faithful to true doctrine, and that means also defending Catholic doctrine, even if that means putting up opposition to the priest or the bishop or the pope. So there's no way you can be 100% faithful to church doctrine, at the same time 100% obedient and submissive to church authority. And so what happens is that you have all the different traditional Catholics that they're trying different ways, human ways. They pray, they do their best. Some more than others, some more knowledgeable than others. Some can quote more of the great theologians that support the, you know, both of those, which both are true. But you can't do both perfectly, and so you're always going to fall short. And again, we have to understand that this is the nature of what we're dealing with, and not fall into the trap of thinking, oh, I have all the answers. My particular path is the correct one and the other ones are wrong. And they're committing a mortal sin. They go to Mass over there with that priest, or they go with the FSSB, they go with the Institute of Christ the King, Institute of the Good Shepherd, etc., etc. There is a hierarchy with regard to obedience. And remember this. At the top is not the Pope. The Catholic Church has never taught this. At the top of the hierarchy of obedience is Jesus Christ and the deposit of faith. The truths that Christ taught. Jesus is the truth. This is our big problem right now, because what you've heard about this, you know, these different documents and fiducia supplicans, it's because what's happening is we're getting actions and teachings that are going contrary to Christ and to the deposit of faith, what the Catholic Church has always taught, always and everywhere. So at the very top of the hierarchy, Jesus Christ and the deposit of faith, and then the Pope, the Bishop, the priest, individual Catholics. And again, factor into your discernment in terms of how do I respond to this crisis? How do I understand what's taking place? Please factor this in. One must recognize that obedience is being used against the faith. And remember that at the very top there, Jesus Christ and the deposit of faith. That's why obedience exists. The very structures and processes of the church, like canon law, are being used against the faith. And also remember, look, it's not one's responsibility to come up with a definitive answer to this crisis. It's not your responsibility to figure it out. Remember the message of Our Lady of Fatima. She doesn't say, figure out the crisis. Figure out, you know, how the devil infiltrated. She says, pray for the Pope, pray for the Bishop, pray for the priest. But the message of Fatima is also telling us, be 100% faithful to the lex orandi and the lex credendi of the Catholic Church. It's also very sad because all this infighting among traditional Catholics, it's not giving a good witness to the Catholics who aren't going to the Latin Mass, that desperately need a good witness from us to help them so that they too can start on the true Catholic path. That's really sad. That's a scandal. I mean, if you have Catholic faithful right here that have never gone to the Latin Mass, and now they're beginning to say, you know what, well, Father Rodriguez, maybe he's not as dumb as he looks. And, you know, maybe some of the things that he was telling me about going to the Latin Mass, you know, maybe I'm going to start watching, a little video here that explains why the Latin Mass. And, you know, I'm going to pay attention here to what Father Mods is going to tell me about, you know, the Latin Mass and the changes in the Mass, et cetera, et cetera. So let's say they're beginning to take some small steps. And then they look and see us fighting amongst each other. It doesn't help any. A very, very quick list here on some of the things concretely that you can do to respond to the crisis. So, at the top of the list, pray and sacrifice for the Holy Father and bishops. Two, we must work towards conversion. Remember this, and this is straight from the message of Our Lady of Fatima, light from Fatima. To turn to God, to turn away from sin, to pray for the conversion of poor sinners. Conversion of poor sinners. Who's the first poor sinner? I mean, again, reflect on the message of Our Lady of Fatima. She places such great emphasis to the shepherd children. Pray and make sacrifice for the conversion of poor sinners. You know, I start thinking about that and I say, you know what? I'm the first poor sinner. I better pray and make sacrifice for my own conversion. This is something that a lot of times I see lacking among the traditional Catholics. You know, they're over there talking about who went to Mass where. And who's making compromises. And who's not obedient. Oh, it's not obedient. Disobeying the bishop, disobeying the Pope. This one denies that the Pope is the Pope, and this one that. And this other person went to the Fatima Center Conference, the other one didn't. First, we have to work for our conversion, and then also we have to work for the conversion of all of the Catholic faithful that are still not, for whatever reason, not in line with 100% fidelity to the lex orandi and the lex credendi of the Catholic Church. Practice humility. Recognize that you are weak and vulnerable, prone to fail, prone to error, vulnerable to the diabolical disorientation that affects us all. Really practice humility. I mean, times when I reflect on my own situation, I certainly think that I've got something of a grasp on the crisis in the church, and I think I'm making efforts to kind of follow the right path, but I have no guarantee that the path I'm taking is more correct or better than another traditional priest that sees some things differently. We're not talking about lex orandi, lex credendi. Practice charity. Be charitable to those who disagree with you about the solution to the crisis. We must be patient. We must be joyful in suffering. We must bear wrongs patiently. Charity. We must forgive all injuries. Charity. If another traditional Catholic injures you, forgive him. Bear the wrongs of other traditional Catholics patiently. We must persevere. Do not ostracize others. Be slow to criticize and quick to do penance. Do not cause division and strife among traditional Catholics. Forgive. Be vigilant and always ready to work first at your own conversion. And be serious about discernment. Take plenty of time. You don't have to make a decision. You're trying to decide, should I go to Mass with this priest? Should I go to Mass with the Fraternity of St. Peter, St. Pius X? You don't have to make a decision in one day or in one week. Be serious about discernment. Take plenty of time. Be patient. Be wary of perfect answers and perfect solutions. Talk to different traditional priests who are trustworthy. Remain humble. I conclude with a prayer. May the Immaculate Heart of Mary be our light in the midst of so much darkness. May the Immaculate Heart of Mary be our anchor in the storms of today's diabolical disorientation. May the Immaculate Heart of Mary be our strength against the sins of heresy, blasphemy, and impurity. May the Immaculate Heart of Mary be our joy in the midst of every trial. May the Immaculate Heart of Mary be our help at the hour of death. May the Immaculate Heart of Mary be the way that leads us to Jesus. May the Immaculate Heart of Mary be for us the channel through which we receive all the graces needful for our salvation. Amen. Thank you all.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. We encourage you to join the 100 by 100 First Saturday Challenge at fatima.org/100by100. Help us make the full message of Fatima known, understood, appreciated, and obeyed by all. Live the message. Roman Catholic SOS, RC SOS, R for Rosary, C for consecration, S for scapular, O for offer, S for First Saturday. That's Roman Catholic SOS. And please support Our Lady's Apostolate with your prayers and donations. Every little bit counts. God is never outdone in generosity. May He reward you. Immaculate Heart of Mary, be our salvation.